So Patrick Paulin, you are the owner, the CEO of RCP Quick Start?
CEO, owner, all of the above. Yeah.
Chief instructor?
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges that people face when they're building RCP-based applications?
Well, you know, most of the people I see are just coming from a Java background and just trying to, you know, jump into RCP. And I think the first thing that's hard is just understanding what building an application composed of plugins means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that idea is a pretty alien concept to, especially if you've just been dealing with, you know, normal Java development, either on the web or using Swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just how do you construct an application based on plugins? How do you properly architect an application based on plugins? A lot of the teams I see when I go into a new company, a lot of times you'll see that they've just got a single plugin,
right,
you know, with all of their stuff in it. You know,
and that's a starting point.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have to start with one or a few plugins. You know, usually I tell people to start at least with a UI plugin and a non-UI plugin just to get some separation. But,
sure.
But yeah, then you evolve it from there. But just trying to understand when you should make the choice to create a new plugin and how you properly architect an application.
It's like sort of like right graining plugins, right? We see
right.
large grained, we see small grained. You know, there's trade-offs for both, but figuring out where that sweet spot
right.
is a real challenge for people.
Yeah, and it's definitely different than a traditional jar granularity. Mm-hmm. Right, it's not either smaller or larger than a regular jar, but it's different.
Right.
You know?
So now, do you find that people developing RCP applications have trouble with the freedom? Basically, you know, RCP applications are collections of views, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, very often can be rearranged, and we empower the user, and that's actually different, really, from traditional applications. Is that a paradigm that you're seeing people adopting, or do they fight RCP and try to, you know, lock it down and make it more, you know, more controlled environment
mm-hmm.
in a more classical sense?
Well, I think people come at RCP for different reasons, and part of the education process is finding out what that reason is. I mean, some people come to RCP because it's a quick way to develop user interface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those people, when that's certainly true, those people struggle a little bit with the modularity aspects of it. Why, you know, why do I have to use extension points to create views and editors? Why can't I just code this by hand?
Sure.
You know, and so they're kind of, they need to be, you know, where they don't need to be, but, you know, they need to think about, you know, those parts of it a little more. Some people are coming at RCP thinking, well, I really need a modular UI. You know, I want to provide some sort of core workbench to my users and then drop in plugins mm-hmm. and kind of leverage it the way Eclipse does. You know, and those people, you know, are very embrace it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in either case, it's a learning curve. It's a very different approach to creating UIs, you know, than using Swing or something like that.
Now, in my experience, I find that explaining the whole extension point extension mechanism is challenging.
Yeah.
Do you have an approach? What approach do you take to exposing that?
I think the best way to learn extension points is an example based, you know, way. I mean, to go through, you know, first of all, I think you need to understand why you're even using it. So I spend a lot of time trying to talk about what the problem is. Because
mm-hmm.
creating a dynamic modular UI where you can drop plugins in and things like that is not the typical way. It's also just not a simple way of doing things. So even, you know, understanding what the problem is probably the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that, I mean, then I think it's just going through examples. And when you see that you can contribute views, editors, menu options, and the visible ones are kind of easier to understand. When you start talking about the invisible
mm-hmm.
extension part, the non-user interface parts, then it's a little harder to understand. You know? That's kind of the approach I use, as an example-based approach.
So how far along in the learning process would you introduce the notion of creating your own custom extension points?
I do that. You know, I have a 3-day course. On the third day, we do talk about creating your own extension points, and it really depends on the team. Some teams are really interested in that idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for teams that are just getting started with RCP, I want to give them the idea that it exists and that what the mechanisms are like, just so that they can start to think about it in the future. You know, so that they can start to look at their own problems and start to see it in terms of extension points,
sure.
extensions, but not necessarily know all the ins and outs of how to do it. You know, but so some teams are really ready to jump in, and then we go into the extension registry and into detail about how to do that. You know.
So now you offer a 3-day course. Mm-hmm. What do you do you often encounter the people who you know believe the software is free? Why should I pay for education?
yes. I mean, not among the developers so much, but you know, among the, I guess, the people that are you know
the decision makers.
Right, the decision makers, right? Yeah, because I mean, among
is that students, is that still an attitude that we're seeing, or is my perception correct, or is that still something we see?
Sure. Yeah, I think that is, and you know, and it's in some technologies, I think you can sit down and self-teach, you know, mm-hmm. And there's some developers who've done that with RCP, but it's RCP, I think, is somewhat unusual in that it's a really huge collection of APIs, and it's also developed over time. It's an open source project, so there's oftentimes, you know, many ways to do the same thing. There's, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really developers can oftentimes, with the existing online resources, say, spin their wheels for quite a while just trying to figure out what the best approach to any particular thing is, like managing preferences or things like that. You know, the developers that I've talked to, you know, developers I taught have after the course said, you know, I spent a month doing RCP and I didn't get anywhere as far as I did, and you know, after some training. So
sure.
So from the developer's point of view, they've always been very positive about it.
So while the software is free, time isn't, right?
Right, right. That's, I mean, you know, if you're wasting a month of your time, your developer's time, you know, just getting up to speed when you could do it in a few days, and that's expensive.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really common thought or train of thought, I guess, with open source is
right.
It's all free. Well, you know, again, your time isn't free.
Yeah.
So now you've started offering OSGI courses as well.
Yes, yes, I'm starting to offer OSGI right now.
And so would that be more people focused on developing server-side applications, headless applications?
Right.
What kind of people are interested in that style of course?
Yeah, there are people interested. I mean, some people are doing RCP development, but they want to move, you know, some of their functionality onto a server. You know, probably using some sort of, you know, services like Service Mix or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's people starting to think about, you know, doing Spring DM server work for web application development. So, you know, OSGI is just, I mean, spreading so rapidly in so many different areas that,
sure.
you know, I think it's going to be a useful thing to know in the future, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So. So how much OSGI would someone be exposed to in an RCP course? Is that something you kind of, you know, don't look under the covers kind of approach, or do you think it's necessary to really understand the OSGI, the underlying OSGI, as you're learning RCP?
I think it's definitely useful. I mean, I start the course focusing on plugin development, which is, you know, for all intents and purposes, fairly similar to OSGI development, because I think it's really important to understand, you know, again, what it means to develop an application composed of plugins, and those concepts all apply to OSGI and to mm-hmm. RCP development. I think that, you know, I cover more of the structural aspects of it, but in the RCP course, I don't really go into services so
okay.
much. And so the OSGI course itself would go much more into, you know, how to create OSGI services using declarative services, things like that.
Okay. So how can we find out more information about the courses that you teach?
Sure. Yeah, Mike, I have a blog that I post a lot of RCP tips and some OSGI things as well. It's called rcpquickstart.com.
Mm-hmm.
So people can go there and hopefully they can find useful information about these things. And you can also find it, you know, when the next courses are happening. I do a lot of online training now. So I offer training using WebEx or GoToMeeting, and I offer a course every 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay. And so the nature of those courses, are they instructor-led?
Yes.
So you're actually actively lecturing to people who are remote and they're running hands-on, and you're interacting with them through a GoToMeeting or something along those lines.
Exactly, right. And then they do, the courses are about 50% lecture, 50% lab. So during the lab section, people are sharing their screens with me and
mm-hmm.
walking through issues they're having. And it's really worked really well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
It was good to see you at EclipseCon this year. And rcpquickstart.com.
Exactly.
Great. Yep. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.